5, verse 17 through probably 48, several verses, I believe it is, in Matthew. And tonight we're going to be dealing with new sets of guidelines. You know, that God has got some new sets of guidelines that we have. Jesus Christ, how great that Jesus Christ come to this world, lived in this world, and we just want to thank the Lord that what he done was willing to leave that old ivory palace and come to this old world that we're living in and just was willing to die on the cross that we may have life and have it more abundantly. And we just thank you so much for that. So we'll be in Matthew chapter 5, and we start in verse 17. Jesus Christ preaching to the multitudes. This was the highlight of his ministry, his preaching to the multitudes. And I know if you heard these verses of scripture many, many times, but he set a new set of guidelines for the people to go by. Now, Jesus Christ, we know that the Old Testament, they had it in their hand, and the Pharisees, but it's a new set from Jesus Christ. I don't know if you've ever been traveling down the interstate, and sometimes you go through these cities, and there's one road on top of another road, and there's traffic coming, and you just keep going, you think you're going in the right direction, and some way or another, you don't know how or where, no sign or nothing, but you're headed on the wrong road. Have anybody ever been in that situation? I'm going to tell you, has anybody ever been in that situation? Going just a straight, don't know where that road come from, no sign or nothing, but here you are, off going on the wrong road. Well, I don't know how many of you have these GPS in your cars or either those mobile that you can have. Even you have them in your telephone sometimes. And you know, if you punch that in, you need somebody to help you get in the right direction. Now, used to you had to stop and ask somebody, but we got these GPS system now, and you can have the GPS system. They say, we're resetting your position. We're resetting your position. You need to make a U-turn, and they begin to talk to you. They're making a new route for you. Well, it's awful easy for us to get on the wrong road and go in the wrong directions in our automobile, but it's also easy for us to get on the wrong road and go in the wrong direction in our daily life routine. A lady was watching television. On the television news, it's come out there was a man driving on the wrong side of the road on Interstate Road going on the speed limit about 60 or 70 miles an hour. She said, gee whiz, I better call my husband. He's in that same area. So she called her husband and said, hey, you better be careful. There's a man going in the wrong direction on this interstate road. She said, one man. He said, there's hundreds of them going in the wrong direction. So I'm telling you, you better be careful when you get on these interstate roads because you'll be going in the wrong direction very, very easy. But I tell you, it's also easy in the life that you and I are living in to be going the wrong direction so many, many times. But the Sermon on the Mount is what Jesus Christ is telling us for us to have a happy life, a happy living, and the instruction that he gave us on the Sermon on the Mount. In verses 17, 18, and 19, I read it this time, and then he was talking about the Sermon on the Mount. That's one of the longest, probably, sermons that Jesus Christ preached. It starts in chapter 5 and goes through chapter 7. It says these couple of verses I'll read, they will be into our message. It says, think not, Jesus Christ speaking, that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to be fulfilled. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass one jot or one tittle, shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Let us pray. Father Jesus, we want to thank you, Lord, for this evening service. And Father, these are your people, and we want to thank you and praise you, God, Lord, that you have touched our heart tonight. And Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for giving the health and the strength and the desire to be here. Especially, Lord, our youth, God, we want to thank you for our young people, oh God, how you have touched their heart and how they are here this night. We want to thank you and praise you for everything that you've done this past week, that we had a great, great Thanksgiving, a feast day for each and every one of us, oh God, family members, a loved one this past week. We thank you, Lord, for the time, the season of year, for Christmas season, the day, Lord, that we're coming into, Lord, of celebrating our Savior's birthday. Lord, he come down this old weary world, was willing to come and be born, Father, in a stable, God. And we want to thank you and praise you, Lord Jesus Christ, that we serve a living Savior, Jesus Christ, that lives forevermore. And Father, you have made these bodies. You know all about these bodies. And Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for the Word of God, Lord, that we have here this night before us to teach us and to help us. While all we hear on this earth is just a few short times, just a little sand on the ocean of time is all we are. We want to thank you, Lord, that you know every one of us, oh God, and you desire for us to have a happy life, oh God, and be going in the right direction all the time. So we want to thank you and praise you here this night, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, and amen. Amen. It tells us in chapter 5, 6, and 7 about the Beatitudes, and it tells us how to have a happy life, and that is the Beatitude, how to live this happy life there in chapter 5. But it also tells us about that we are salt and we are light. That means we are the influence in this world. Now, that's a great sermon there in itself. We are the influence in this world, the good that we have in this world. You see, whenever the church is carried out of this world, you think we're having problems now? The people around this world think that the Christians are one that's causing a problem. I tell you, wait till the rapture of the church comes and God's wrath will be built up against the evil of this world. Oh, I tell you, I'm glad I'm not going to be around here. Oh, Walter Cronkite, I don't know what you think about him, but he says the Christians are the one who have making all the trouble around this world. We're the Christians. They're blaming us for a lot of things that are happening in this world. But I'm going to tell you, thank you, Lord, for the ones even at this church right now. Not only hey, we can keep the evil back out of this world, but I'm going to tell you what, you help your family, your loved ones, your friends in the area that you live in, our schools, our communities, because that you believe in Jesus Christ, and we're the Christian, we're the salt, and we're supposed to have the influence in the world today, and we do. Jesus Christ said, I come that you might have life, that you might have it more abundantly, and live it to the fullest that we have today. Jesus began to explain now these new sets of guidelines. Jesus Christ had a great appreciation of the Word of God, as you find out all of his teaching is. In verse 17, he says, I come not to destroy the law, but fill it to the full. And then he began to explain the meaning of a lot of things in this chapter that we're going to read. Now, the Old Testament, they had a moral law and they had a ceremonial law. Had a moral law and a ceremonial law. Now, Jesus died, and that fulfilled the ceremonial law. No longer they have to worry about bringing sacrifices, animals to be able to worship God. You didn't have to bring an animal light to worship God because Jesus Christ, he fulfilled all the ceremonial law that it was in the Old Testament. But not only that, his life fulfilled the moral law because people could not live the life that the law said for them to live. Jesus Christ lived that perfect law. No man could ever live that perfect law, but Jesus Christ fulfilled every area of that Old Testament law, the moral law, and also the ceremonial law. But he did not come to do away with the prophets that he said. You said in Isaiah, it said that Jesus Christ, in Isaiah 7:14, that Jesus Christ was going to be born about 1,500 years before he was, that Jesus Christ was going to be born from a virgin. Isaiah said, I said that. Oh, Micah said that he's going to be born in Bethlehem. Micah said, I said that. All the prophets, they prophesied where Jesus Christ was going to be born. And everything about Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection, and also that he's coming again. He fulfilled all the prophets. Now, in verse 18, it says, you know, for verily I say unto you that till heaven and earth pass, not one little jot, not one little tittle shall in no wise pass away from the law till all be fulfilled. The Bible is absolutely accurate and absolutely correct, and God has a great appreciation, and Jesus Christ has a great appreciation for this word. All of the appreciation of what he says, and when he begins to talk. Now, the great multitude was following Jesus Christ at this time. They sat down, and it come time to teach them the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. Many, many followers was listening to Jesus Christ. No man had ever spoke like this before. Well, the Jews was there, a lot of Jews and the Pharisees especially. Now, the Pharisees were their religious leaders of that day. And he began to talk to them. They knew that all the laws, there's over 600 laws that the Pharisees had made. But he began to talk to them about something about on the inside. All these ceremonial laws and all these moral laws for the Jews at that time, it all was an outward law, an outward ceremony. They did not understand that. Jesus Christ said, now this is an inward thing that I'm fixing to talk to you about. And then verse 20, for I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Your righteousness. Now the Pharisees thought they was righteous because what they was doing. They was trying to keep the law. Every little detail they would try to do. Well, he let them know that it's not your what you try to do, your righteousness, you'll never make it. He says, now listen, people. you're going to have to exceed the righteous of the Pharisees. Everybody knew the Pharisees around at that time. They began to look at the Pharisees sitting around and how that Pharisee, how, you know, well, he was trying to keep the law and he'd do this and he'd do that. They began to look around. Jesus Christ says, you can't enter in the kingdom of heaven by the way that these Pharisees, these religious leaders, I mean, they tried to live the best they could. He said, but yeah, but you can't go to heaven that way. Jesus Christ says, you can't make it having that type of righteousness. You'll never enter into the kingdom of heaven by what you do, what you try and do, and by keeping these laws. And then he began to go give us some illustrations. Then he began to reset the GPS in their life at that time. There needs to be reset of the guidelines in their life. Every day that you want to have a happy life, the little life that we have left on this earth, we need to listen to what the Word of God says. Well, it starts off in verse 24 there about killing. He began to talk to him about killing. Now, he says this is going to be an inward matter. Everything I'm going to talk to you about, excuse me, is an inward matter. They thought it was an outward ceremony, but it's an inward matter. It says there now in verse 21, ye have heard that it was said of them of old times, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. All right, they was doing pretty good. Now, all the religious leaders, all that followers of Jesus Christ is good looking around at one another and say, well, I ain't never killed, I ain't never killed. I say you here this night. Have anybody ever killed anybody tonight? Well, you say no. I don't know what I do. Somebody raise your hand. Ain't anybody ever killed anybody, have you? I don't think you have. All right, that's good. You think you're doing pretty good, don't you? I don't know what I do. Somebody said, yeah, I killed somebody. I don't know what I do. But anyway, they thought they was doing pretty, you're doing pretty good tonight. You hadn't ever killed nobody, have you? Well, Jesus Christ wasn't through with them. He wasn't through, and they was feeling pretty good, these Pharisees. They hadn't ever killed anybody. Now, verse 22 says, but I say unto you, Jesus Christ, and I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. All right? It says in Ephesians 4 and 26, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. It's all right to be angry, but you can be angry at sin all that you want to, but not at the sinner. Now, he's talking about an inward act. Now, as we read that verse 21 about killing, the act of killing, well, you say we're doing pretty good. Well, we are, because nobody never killed anybody with an outward act. But you see now, God says, now, how about this inward act? How about the anger that's in your heart? Jesus Christ says you've angered with somebody you have already murdered in your heart. Well, who hath been angry at somebody? This anger, this word anger, it's exploding anger. It's a boiling point. It's something that's been simmering on your heart. It's a volcano in your heart that's fixing to erupt. And the destitute of this horror that's in your heart this time, it's an inside matter. You've already killed somebody. Can you imagine old Bin Laden, you know how many people that he has killed? Well, you know, you think about the boiling anger in that man's heart to want to destroy anybody he can that's called Americans. The anger of this man, he's already killed many, many. He wants to kill all he can. He's got an anger just boiling in his heart all over, even before he even has the act. Did you know it's even dangerous on the road now? You get out on the road called road rage. You better not look left. You better not look to the right. You might get shot. Did y'all know that? I'm going to tell you, it's plumb dangerous, and mine is getting worse all the time because the anger that people have. Now, this is where Jesus Christ is addressing the anger of our heart. Anger of heart, he says, is the beginning of murder. Verse 22, thou fool that says be in danger of hell fire. Now that word hell there means the Gehenna. You be in danger of that. That word Gehenna there is a trashed up of Jerusalem where they threw the garbage and the old animals that just burnt day and night. It stuck. It was just edge of Jerusalem. You be in danger of that. And then it says Raca. That's attack there of your mentally ability. You're calling somebody an old blockhead or maybe just looking down on somebody. And then to use the word fool. That's a moral attack upon them. The moral attack is in Proverbs 26 and 11 says, as a dog returns to his vomit, so a fool, same word he uses there, it says fool returns to his folly. Now what it's saying is you just no vomit-eating dog. Jesus Christ said there's more way to kill somebody than with a gun. To call someone this name, you know, and this anger, this boiling point that we have in our heart. Verse 23 and verse 24, therefore if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remember that thy brother have aught against thee, leave thou this gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Now he says, you know, really, if you come to church and you're going to worship me, and you got some problem with someone in the church, listen to me, church. If you don't get deal with it, he said it's going to affect
your worship with me. You better deal with it. You better deal with it, he says. Jesus Christ says, before you worship, you need to get right with other people. It will hinder your worship to the Lord. Your worship with the Lord affects the way you know you have a relationship with someone else. Killing. He keeps on going in verse 25, an illustration of court and also of prison in verse 25. Agree with thy adversary quickly while thou art in the ways with him, lest any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. He says, deal with this right now, right while it's hot. Get it off your mind and deal with it before it gets any worse. Before it gets any worse, get together and get this thing settled. Anger becomes a prison. You know anger becomes a prison? You know, if you put yourself in this prison by not forgiving people and getting this problem straight, you put yourself in a prison. I'm going to tell you, undissolved, you need to get it dissolved because it will put you in a prison if you have something against your fellow man. These new guidelines, reset your GPS, he says, now because you're traveling down the wrong road. It's in your heart. It's concerning killing. And then he moves on a little bit further. He says, now concerning lust, Jesus Christ made us. Did y'all know that? Did you know that Jesus Christ knows everything about us and how what makes human beings tick and everything? Here it is right here from the Word of God. He knows you. He's reading your heart, everything. How about murder, he says, in your heart? How about being angry with your brothers and sisters? How many of us has been angry with our brothers and sisters in the Lord? How many have been angry with our brothers and sisters in our home life? He says, I know you. And then he talks about lusting. Did he really know about lusting? Now, verses 28 on down through 27 on down through 30 is dealing with the subject of sex. Now, listen to me, young people. Listen to what the Word of God says. He's talking here now about sex. Verse 27. Ye have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her have committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offends thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. What's he saying here? It's a sad thing, you really, to think about this in a way, because you see, Jesus Christ, a lot of us, having this same problem. We know that Jesus Christ has enough of power to save us. I mean, really, I put out my whole faith in Jesus Christ to save me. I know I'm saved. But then you know what? Sometimes I don't depend on Jesus Christ really to help me live my life like I should. He's the same one to give you power to forgive all your sin, the same one to help you live your life like he said we ought to live our life. Reset your GPS. Jesus Christ got the power to reset your life, to reset your GPS, and everything that you need, I'm going to tell you, it's in Christ Jesus. Now, he says this word there in 27, adultery. Now, someone having sex with another person outside of the marriage partner is adultery. That's adultery. Whether you believe it or not, he says, you know, that's wrong. But it goes a little bit deeper now. It goes because it's not just the act, but just the thought. It's an inside matter. Now, it's for that second gaze, man. Now, you know, there's nothing looking at good-looking women, because we look at good-looking women all the time. God made good-looking women. I think all women are good-looking. I never saw an ugly woman. I saw one or two that come close. But I never saw an ugly woman. Yeah, God has made women for us to look at. There's nothing wrong with it. But you know what it's talking about? The second gaze, the lingering. It's the desire, the stare, and it's the thought life. It's in the heart that God says, I'm going to get on down where nobody else can see that. You see, I'm the only one that knows that. I can see that, you and me. And not only the person that's doing the looking, you know, for the lust, but also the woman that puts herself in a position to invite lust. Y'all hear me, girls? Y'all hear me, ladies? It's not just the man. It's the ladies also that puts theirself in a position that, you know, you cause these boys, men, to lust after you. There's a certain way that you dress, or a certain way that you handle yourself, you know, that you can cause this lust on your own self. It's not just the man. It's also the lady also. Girls, ladies of the church, be careful with our apparel, how that we dress. You know that the outside don't contradict what you have on the inside. That's what he's talking about. You need to be very careful with that. Then he's talking about, you know, puck out your eye, you know, and cut off your hand. What's he talking about? Literally, Jesus Christ is not talking about to punch out your eye or either cut off your hand. But he's talking about in your heart life, in your thought life, do some drastic things. Make drastic measure. Now, well, if you had to cut off your hand, would that be very drastic? That would be drastic, would it not? I mean, you had your hand chopped off, and I'm going to tell you, had your eyes gouged out, one of your eyes, that would be very, very drastic. He said, be better now, you know what, if you'd go into heaven, though, you know, with just one eye. But he's not talking about this little eye, but he's talking about dealing with something very drastic in your life. There's something, you know what, you need to get straightened out in your life. New guidelines. There's new guidelines on this lusting. You know what you need to do. You need to correct it. You need to correct it now. And then he gets into a subject, I guess all of it hurts us pretty well because there's so much hurt. And then he's talking about divorce. And I'm so glad this is not the unpardonable sin that God can forgive you. You can be happy. I like the world to know that. Some people think it's unpardonable sin, but it's not. God will forgive you. And I tell you what, he will forgive you. And thank God for forgiveness. Amen. And you can have a happy life. Verse 31 and verse 32 that he's talking about. He had been said, whosoever shall put his wife away, let him give her a writ of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put his wife away, save for the cause of fornication, call her commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. Now this is Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 1. This is the Moses law that he's dealing with here. If you go back and check that in the book of Deuteronomy, you see what he's talking about. That was awful easy. All they had to do was just get it right in a divorcement, and they could put a wife away very, very easy. But now there's new law now concerning divorce according to Jesus Christ. Now in Jesus Christ's day, he said it was very easy, you know, for them right at that time to get a divorce. But you see, it's not so easy now to get a divorce that Jesus Christ is talking about, because it's easy to get a divorce even this day, but it's not easy to get rid of the pain. Isn't that correct? It's easy to get a divorce, but it's not easy to get rid of the pain. Because you see, always there are pain in divorce. Now marriage is a union between two living people, and they create really a one living unity. All right, when that occurs, death occurs, and there's always sadness with death. But Jesus Christ will forgive you, and you can live a happy life. He says, I have all power in heaven and earth, forgive all sin. And I'm gonna tell you what, no matter what people says, Jesus Christ will forgive you, and you can live a happy life. He says, you know, there's a problem in it. There's pain. He said, but I will forgive you about this. Then he's talking about swearing. Here we're going to swear. Verse 33 on down to 37. You ever swear, I swear this, I swear that. And again, you have heard that it had been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, nor shalt perform unto the Lord thy oath. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool. Neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. That's David and King Jesus. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou cannot make one hair white or black. But let your conversation be yes and yes, and no whatsoever. You more than these, you commit evil. Now, what we're going to do, swearing. Now, it's not talking about profane language here also, but it's talking about being a man of your word. I mean being a personal word, using an oath, you know, to swear things by. Have you ever heard anybody, I swear on a stack of Bible. If anybody ever says that, you better be careful. Anybody ever said that, better be careful. I swear on a stack of Bibles. You see, you don't need to have to swear on a stack of Bibles. You know, I'm old, but I'm not that old that I can't remember when I started doing business at People Bank in Blackshear. I had me a checking account, I had me a job, and I wanted to trade automobiles. All I'd have to do was call that bank. And I tell them I'm buying a new car today, and I want you to fix up the papers. They say, go ahead and get your car and come back by the office. Now, I didn't have any money in the bank. I had to borrow it, every bit of it. But they knew me, and I had done business with them. They knew my family, and all I do, I had to call and get that car. I'd go by and get that car, and I'd write them a check. Didn't have no money in the bank, but I'd go in and write them a check. We'd make a deal, and I'd buy me a car. Then I go back by the bank and I show them my paperwork, and they make out a deal, and I have to start paying them so much money. Can you do that nowadays? You can't do that nowadays. And I can't do that nowadays. Why? Because people will not stand on their word. I know that people has bought farms just on a handshake. I mean, you didn't have to have a lawyer and all these papers drawn up. You ever go buy anything and you have to sign. I don't ever read all that stuff. I don't know what all I've ever signed.
I'm telling you, ain't no telling. I mean, it's book, it's paper after paper after paper after paper. You know why? Because people won't be honest. That's the reason. And they get ripped off. He says, you know what? You're not have to swear by a stack of Bibles. He says, you know what? It ought to be your word. It ought to just be our word, what we say. You need to be very careful. You know, we need to return back just to a handshake and say, you know what? I'll tell you what I'll do. And be a man, be a person of your word. Whatever you say you're going to do, you need to do. You know what? I tell you what, our churches would be full if we started doing what we told Jesus Christ we'd do. Did y'all know it? We'd have a great change in our churches. I mean, if you started doing in this church, if you started doing in this church what you promised you'd do in this church, you know what? There'd be a change in this church. Wouldn't have to beg anybody no more if you started doing what you should do. Retaliation, verse 38 through 42. Retaliation. Now, God said that's his. Now, reset your GPS now. You have heard that it been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Now, that was, again, Moses' laws. And what that was there for, Moses had a law there because for the punishment be equal to what you had done, to the crime. An eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth was supposed to balance out in Moses' days. Was balance out the best as Moses could do that, to balance out what kind of crime you done for the penalty that you had to pay for. But now Jesus Christ said, but I send you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn him the other cheek also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take thy coat, let him have thy cloak also, give the inside and outside. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to him that asked thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Reset your GPS. Now he says, now because of retaliation. Retaliation for an individual. Now, every one of these, I said, this is Moses' law about an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth. And Jesus Christ said, but I send you, he goes a little bit deeper for us. He said, but I send you, somebody, you know, wants your coat, give him your inner coat also. And then it says, you know, go within 1 mile. They asked you to go with the mile, go with him the second mile. At this time, the Romans, they had charge over the Jews at that time. A soldier, the Roman soldier, could come up. They had mileposts that they had to go to, just like I did today. See mileposts on interstate roads, and they had mileposts. And the Roman soldier had a pack they needed to carry. There's good from one city to another city. What they do is have a Jew side the road somewhere there, and he just pull off his pack and say, hey, how about taking my pack for a mile? Well, that man had to do that, or that person had to do that. There's a obligated by the Roman law that they had to do that. Well, Jesus Christ said, well, when you towed it from one milepost point to the other milepost point, don't lay it down and say, sir, I'll carry your pack another mile. Now, you reckon that blowed them soldiers' minds away? There it is, trying to make somebody do something. They said, I'm going to do it on my own. I'm going to carry your pack another mile. Oh, he's going to slap you in one face. Jesus Christ demonstrated that. You turned your other cheek also. Jesus said, you know, carry it 2 miles. Jesus Christ always has reset your GPS, new guidelines. And then it comes down to the last part, and this is a part of loving. Verse 43 and 44. You have heard that it had been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. That's the Old Testament again. But I say unto you, reset your GPS. Love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Respond with love to those who curse you, those that takes advantage of you. Respond with love with those, you know, that have to use you and despise you. Respond with love and respond with prayer for them, it says. You know what, I tell you what, you can't hate somebody that you're praying for. If there's anybody in this church, you have anybody has any ought against any way whatsoever, I guarantee you if you pray for that person, whatever problem you have, it'll seem like a vanish away. You can't hate, not just in this church, you can't hate anybody if you're praying for them. He says, reset your GPS. If someone does you bad, pray for them. And just praying for them. They don't like you, that's all right. They don't like you, they'll use you. A lot of people don't like me. There's a lot of people that don't like you, but if you find somebody, don't pray for them. Just pray for them. That's what he said for us to do. You can't hate somebody that you're praying for. Verse 46 and on down. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the Republicans do that? And if you salute your brother only, what ye more than others? Do not even the Republicans do so? Be ye therefore perfect, as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Reset your GPS. We see how total helpless we are now to do what Jesus Christ says for us to do on the inside. It's an inside job. Christianity is an inside job. Reset your GPS. A new set of guidelines in every area that Jesus Christ has talked about. We want to have a happy life. I'm going to tell you, if you want to get out of prison, I'm going to tell you, if you want to have this happy, complete life, Jesus Christ is talking to all these multitudes. And you just remember at the time, multitudes of people having all time things going on in their mind at that time, and how Jesus Christ says, now, I want you to get on a new set of guidelines. I want you to start loving people. Oh, you say you ain't killing nobody, but I tell you that a lot of you got anger in your heart and there's someone you don't like, Jesus Christ says. And about this lusting, he says, you know what? He says it starts off in the heart. It's not the outward act as bad, it is the inward heart of each and every one of us. And then he talks about this divorce. He says, you know, I will forgive thee. He says, you know, you will not do it, but I will forgive thee. And then swearing. What have you got to swear? You don't have anything you can swear. And retaliation, God says, you know, you ought to pray for them. And then it all boils down to love. Love seals the whole thing if you new set of guidelines. Now, as you reset your GPS and you're going down the right road, you know to start with, the first one is love. Now, love covers a multitude of sin, does it not? If you just get this one thing, love, straightened out in your life, all the rest of the way of your traveling, you'll be going down that road with a smile upon your face. You see, when you know where you're going and you've been lost, you know, and you know sometimes Joyce can tell you that I'm telling the truth and I get into town, I get somewhere lost and I don't know where I'm going, I get aggravated. Do y'all ever get that way? Don't speak to me. I know, I'll tell that. You need to call, they don't know where we're at. I mean, I get in a bad fix. We get that thing reset and we get going and we know that we go back on the right road. And then we can travel on the rest of the way, and it's a lot better than it was before. That's what Jesus Christ is telling us about our life. He said, once you get this GPS of your life set back and get back on the right road, you start living by the new set of guidelines. You know how easy it is when you know where you're going, and the way it's much easier, and you have a better trip. Just reset, it says. Jesus Christ says, just reset your GPS. And get on the right road of life and get rid of all this baggage that we're carrying. And see what a happy life that you will have the rest of your trip. As I said this morning, you know, some of us may be arriving at our trip pretty soon. Maybe you see our destination is not far off. But I can have a happy life no matter how many more miles I have to go in this life. I can have a new guidelines and a new life in Christ Jesus each day if I just listen to what he said in his word. Has to come with a song of invitation. I hope that you have reset your GPS tonight in these words of Jesus Christ from the Savior lips himself. He says, you know, it all starts out in the life. And I says, not just the young people, but the old people. If you just realize what I'm telling you, Jesus Christ says, how that you could have this happy life in Christ Jesus. Brother Orville.